Welcome to the 5:30 edition of the Public Affairs Show here on KAFM 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado. This is the Public Affairs Show where we answer your technology questions. We are the technology guys. I don't know, what are we calling ourselves, Matt?
The computer guys.
Computer guys, technology guys.
I think
but
that's
we answer any questions about anything technology-wise. 241-8801, extension 1, or you can call, if you're out of the area, the area code is 970-241-8801. And we have special guest in the studio today. My name is Rick Castellini.
I'm Matt Kettlewell.
And I'm Bree Castellini.
And Bree Castellini is my oldest daughter. Well, I only have one daughter, but she's my oldest child. And she is a radio, she's pretty much, I would consider her a little bit of a radio, I don't want to say, what do you say for a somebody that's been around a while?
I've been on air for over a year.
But you're good at it. You know what to do.
I'm a public speaker.
That's right.
You talk in. If you want to define me as public speaker.
Talk into the microphone, please. And we're going to get out the particulars right away. So Bree and Matt are going to do our underwriters. Matt. And again, our phone number is 241-8801, or we love to interact via the web. If you are willing to do that, you can tweet any one of us. My Twitter is helpmerick.com.
I'm at Kettlewell.
And I'm at Bree's Own World, B-R-I-S, Own World.
Own World, yep. And you can find any of us at any of those spots anywhere on the web. Help me, Rick. Bree'sOwnWorld.com is Brianna's website. I'm HelpMeRick.com. Are you MattKettlewell.com or just Kettlewell.net?
No, Matt.
What's your website?
I have a lot of websites.
What's your main one?
Oh, that would probably be TechWell Business.
TechWellBusiness.com.
Yeah, right, okay. Right. But yeah, you can find me on Facebook. That's the best place to really connect with me, and that's okay. Matt Kettlewell. Yeah.
On Facebook. Okay, right. Cool. And our buddy Adam is in Chicago this weekend, and he is at Talking Digital. And if he's out there listening by chance, Matt or Adam, give us a call. You can guest host through the telephone if you want.
Yeah, try and find a spot that's not windy in the windy city.
241-8801, extension 1. Now, I have a quick question. I Twittered this earlier today, but I've gotten zero response, and I don't know if that's because no one knows or if no one cares. But what is causing the pollution in the valley the last few days? What fire is it?
Oh, right. I meant to answer you on that.
I wonder if you knew.
Yeah, I believe it's the ones coming out of Washington State.
We're getting Washington State
smoke. I think
so.
It's huge. It consumed 70 homes in a matter of just hours. I mean, it just went up fast.
Yeah, I was hoping our guy from Channel 8, our Twitter guy over there, would respond.
Usually he does chime in, so I'm kind of surprised.
But it was nothing in the paper.
Right.
I didn't see anything in the Twitterverse, so.
Yeah, it's been really hazy for quite a few days now.
It has great sunrises and sunsets. But
fabulous.
But nothing else good besides that.
Yeah, in fact, Saturday night, we went up to the monument and watched the Perseids meteor shower.
And was it clear enough?
For the time that we were watching, we only saw a few meteors because it was kind of cloudy. But by morning, I was up before the sun got up, and I took photos of that blood red sun as it came up.
So
you knew there was haze somewhere.
Yeah, there's something coming from somewhere. I know there's a fire down by Gunnison, but I'm not sure if that would affect us.
That would. No, that would, because that's part of the lower valley that heads down that direction with the Uncompahgre, and so we can usually catch stuff from Montrose.
It's whatever it is, it's bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about fires. We're here to talk about technology. I will talk about TouchFire. TouchFire.com is one of the many successful, Brandon, what are they called? When the people raise money on the web?
Kickstarter.
Yeah, TouchFire was a Kickstarter project. Kickstarter.com is a online
fundraising service.
Yeah, it's an online, grassroots fundraising service.
Grassroots fundraising service.
Because what it is people, anybody can put up an idea, and then you put up prizes, kind of, and it's not really a prize, but it's kind of an achievement kind of a thing, where if you give a dollar, they might put your name on the product, or if you give $15, you might get a free product if that's what the product cost or something like
that.
They're
called incentives. So what happens is the higher you pay to support the project, the better prize you get. So let's say you're supporting a musician. They're trying to record a new CD. So maybe for $10, you'll get a pre-release download of the entire CD. And for higher and higher up, you might even get a private concert if you pay, up to thousands of dollars.
Or they'll write you a song.
Yeah. Or make you a music video or put you in a music video, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, anyway, so Touchfire is a company that wanted to put together a little silicone keyboard for the iPad so that you could get the tactile feedback so you could do better touch typing without having to look at the keyboard. Because it's one thing about typing on an iPad or any kind of a tablet is it is a little awkward to do touch typing. You really have to have that tactile feedback to be able to touch type. So I supported their Kickstarter last November, and it took them that long to get through the process of getting all their funding. They had to make dies for these little keyboards, all the whole nine yards, and they finally ended up they thought they were going to have to go to China to produce these things, but they found a manufacturer to do the silicon keyboards in California, I believe is where it was. So they ended up doing it all in the United States, and now they just released them in July. I got mine a couple weeks ago, and it works pretty well.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah. I'll have to show it to you after the
Yeah, please do. So is it just a silicone overlay on top of the iPad?
Yep. It's just a real thin silicone, and it just fits half of the keyboard, and it snaps onto the magnets. They're built into the iPad.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, it sticks real nice, and it works real well.
Nice.
So we'll the only way I segued to that was because we were talking about Fire.
Right, right.
It's very clever.
Well, speaking of keyboards for the iPad, have you seen the laser keypads?
Well, those have been around for a while. They didn't have those for the Palm Pilots way back in the day, but
Ones that come out of a cube and
yeah, those have been around for a while, but I don't know how well they work.
I was watching a video of it, and they were doing not too bad. They say you can type almost as fast as you would with a regular keyboard. Now, for me,
it lacks the tactile feedback.
That's what I was going to say. It lacks the actual physical apparatus to be feeling and touching your way, and so it is a little bit slower, and you could see that he was kind of forced, but he was still able to, it was responding quickly.
Right. It's a very clever idea. Adam and I tried those in CES many years ago.
Oh, nice.
And it was kind of cool, and the idea was that what Matt's talking about is the idea was you have a little laser that will imprint or display a keyboard, a QWERTY keyboard, on any surface.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as long as you're typing on that surface, the little laser is picking up your fingers and your finger movements and putting in the keystrokes accordingly.
Right, and it's all derived off of a little cube, so you can put the cube in your pocket.
Right.
And
the idea was they wanted to embed these in phones and in tablets and things like that so that you could have the keyboard built into the device. But turned out that it never really took off, and ThinkGeek has it there, and yeah, there's a few places like that that do have it. But, I haven't seen them take off.
Is it a full keyboard?
Yeah, it's a QWERTY keyboard.
Oh, okay. With all the punctuation? Because that's the only advantage I would see, because if there's no tactile feedback, I don't really see the advantage of an external keyboard for an iPad.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does look like it does have all the punctuation on the top there, so yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason they wouldn't be able to attach it directly into a device is it needs a small bit of height. You know, it needs 2 or 3 inches that it can display down onto a surface.
If you set your keyboard up, your device up, say.
Right.
You set it up on a little stand or something like that.
Right.
Anyway, who knows? But, all right, a couple quick things on news. There was a couple news items I think we could talk about today.
Absolutely.
But Brianna is here. My daughter is here. She is going to be a junior in college, and she is now been with her, you got your second laptop now, because you had one laptop that you went through high school with, and you have a second laptop now. But we always talk about every year at this time on the show, try to give families advice on what kind of computers, what kind of technology to take to college. And for some old guys giving that advice, people sometimes take it, some people don't. But here is a junior in college who's been through it. She's in it right now. She's knee deep in it. And she would be a great person to ask questions if you have a child going off to college or going off to a community college or somewhere, maybe even a trade school, and you want to know what to get for your kids. Call us up. We'll guide you, and Brianna can answer questions as well.
Yeah, and you know what's funny?
Or tweet us questions.
Yeah, tweet too. But what's funny is that whenever I'm at a cafe and I have my little laptop sitting there, every so often someone will just come up to me and sit down and say, hey, can I ask you some questions about your computer? And I'll give computer advice. Like, I've actually had that happen 4 or 5 times since I've been home for the summer.
I liked your tweet about the lady who stopped and asked for direction somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except she wasn't listening to me, and then I think she went the wrong direction once she left. I was a little bit concerned for her.
I always think these days, boy, if you have a smartphone.
I don't think she had a smartphone.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty sure she had a flip phone or something, like a Razor.
Hey, you're making a lot of accusations about her technology right there. All right, 241-8801 extension 1, or you can tweet any one of the three of us. Brianna's at Bree's Own World, at Kettlewell, or at Help Me Rick. Some news items, though, that came out is we did, I don't remember if we had this, Matt, last month or not, but we finally got a date of Windows 8. Windows 8 comes out third week of October. Right. I think it's the 21st, something like that.
I was thinking they said the 26th, but
somewhere in there.
But somewhere in there, yeah.
Late third mm-hmm. week, early fourth week, they came. I didn't think it was going to happen until spring of next year. But Windows 8 is going to be released. And the other thing that I saw this week was mm-hmm. they are going to release the first version of the Windows tablet the same week.
And
that one's called, what's it called? Metro
RT?
RT.
RT.
There you go.
And did you hear about the announcement on September 5th that's going to be made?
Is that the iPhone?
No. It's a week before the iPhone. We're still talking Microsoft.
Okay.
Microsoft and Nokia.
The Windows 8 phone?
The first Windows 8 phone is going to be announced, and they're trying to preempt Apple, so they are rushing this and trying to get something out.
And I hope the key word there isn't rushing, because unfortunately when Microsoft rushes things out, that can sometimes be a problem.
Yeah.
But my advice, in fact, I just left a client just now who's in need of a new computer, and she's a Windows user, and we talked about that Windows 8 is coming out in the fall. But she's using an old Windows Vista, one of the very first generation laptop with only 1 gig of RAM of Windows Vista. My recommendation, at least as of right now, from what I've seen of Windows 8, is if you're in the market for a new computer now, get a Windows 7 computer. What do you think, Matt?
Oh, I'd have to agree. I don't feel confident in Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Ubuntu, you've been looking at it a little bit.
Yeah, I've been playing with Windows 8, or I should say I've been struggling with it. I, as a fairly technical person, am really struggling to understand how it's going to work in the desktop.
Right.
And obviously I have a beta pre-release, and so it's not the final version, but based on what I have right now, I'm just going to have to say absolutely no way can I deal with that. I'm a Linux person anyhow, so I don't play with Windows anyhow. But for my kids, if they wanted something like that, we're already talking in the family of, you know, moving to Mac, moving to Linux, and just going a different direction, because we just don't see what Windows is really trying to do.
Right.
And it's not making sense. Maybe it'll make sense on a tablet or a phone, but on a desktop machine, we're just not seeing it yet.
I agree. Brianna, have you seen the Windows 8?
I have no interest in Windows or Microsoft.
Well, it's just for your curiosity, because you know enough about Windows. You've worked on Windows machines, and I'm sure you work on it periodically.
I try to avoid the experience, to be quite honest.
But you need to look up, just in Google Images, Windows 8 Metro, just to see what the interface looks like. I'm curious to see your face when you look at it. Go ahead
Windows 8 Metro?
Even better is have her watch that video with, what's his name? Where he had his dad run through it.
Chris Perillo.
Chris Perillo, yeah, thanks. And there was that video where he had his dad on purpose. He just said, "Dad, play with this," and he's filming him for 4 or 5 minutes. And his dad just couldn't get around anywhere. And that was the whole point of the thing, was it was so bad.
If I didn't have so many things, barriers between me and my daughter here, I'd like to see the face. If we could put the face here, if you're looking on the webcam, on the KFM webcam.
There we go.
Brianna's face kind of says it all about Windows 8.
I mean, I can appreciate what they're trying to do by streamlining the whole process. I mean, it sort of just looks like a phone, you know, like what you see in the early smartphones. And I think the Android have something similar to this kind of interface. But I don't know, for a computer, you don't have to simplify it so much. I mean, give us a little bit of credit. I don't know.
I think for us tech people, what we're seeing, Brianna, is that they're not only they think they're simplifying it, but people don't like change.
Yeah.
And so what it's done, it's such a big, huge diversion from what they used to do.
Huge change.
And that's the one thing about Apple. If you use an Apple computer in 2000, which was I think 2000 or 2001 is when they first came out with OS X. And you used one then, and you didn't buy a new computer till now, you are going to be able to use the computer exactly the same way for the 95% of things you do. And that's because with each new upgrade of the Mac OS, they didn't change the interface. The interface has been tweaked here and there. They've added things here and there. But overall, you can use a Mac OS computer today exactly the same way you did in the year 2000. And if that's the way you want to do it, great. If you don't want to use Dashboard, which is a new thing in the Mac OS X last year and this year, you don't have to use it. If you don't want to use what's the new thing with the little icons? Dashboard is the
Launchpad?
Launchpad.
I don't use Launchpad at all. I think it's a ridiculous add-on. I doubt anyone uses it.
But see, you've been a Mac user a little longer. So maybe new folks might like the Launchpad because it looks like their iPads.
Yeah, but it's just the applications folder in a different place.
I know.
It doesn't add anything.
But it doesn't get in the way either.
Yeah, that is true. And it does nice not thing. Hinder any of my experience.
That's right. You don't have to go to it.
Do you have a segue for the redesign? Because I have a story that I want to...
Redesign of?
Of Wikipedia. Have you heard about that?
I've heard about it.
The Athena Project? Yeah, let's take the caller.
Yeah, let's take a caller. Yeah.
Just as a...
That's a good topic. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. Hello, welcome to the KFM Public Affairs Show with Matt, Rick, and Bree.
Excuse me for interrupting.
No.
I was listening to you on my computer.
Good.
And it quit. I can't hear you, so my computer, it says buffering. I don't know what that means. I'm in Arizona.
Ah, what that means is, ma'am, is that your internet connection is a little sluggish. What buffering means is that when you're listening to something, especially live, like we are now online, your computer doesn't get the full signal like you would like with a radio station. But instead, you're being sent small pieces of the signal at a time, and then it has to string them together for you to listen to it, or same thing with video. And if your signal, or your strength of your connection isn't strong enough, then you're going to get the buffering and stuttering through your browser. Do you know how fast your connection is?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you know how fast your connection is?
No, I had no idea. I wouldn't know how to find out.
Well, that's what it is. And are you on a public wireless internet, or do you pay for internet at your home, or how are you accessing the internet?
I'm on Verizon broadband.
Ah, okay. So you're using a Verizon wireless, like either a MiFi or a little card plugged into your computer?
Well, it doesn't. I got it before the cards come out. It's got the box.
The little box, and it just sits next to your computer.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. So, and what that is you're paying Verizon, which is in Arizona, is a cellular company, to give you high speed internet through that little box, and cellular is definitely probably the least consistent form of high speed internet. It's very convenient because you can get it anywhere, but
yes.
Because the speed comes, well, we talked about just a second ago. Things come to you in small pieces. Well, with cellular, it comes in those small pieces, but at the same time, depending on the cellular traffic, those pieces can come really fast and sometimes be really, really nice, or depending on traffic, it can come slower, and that's what's causing the buffering and the stuttering.
Well, you were starting out, you came in real good, and then all of a sudden it just quit.
Yeah. So, well, and that's what's going on. But we appreciate you trying.
Sorry, I can't hear you, but I will try another time.
Well, keep trying. Hopefully it'll get better.
Yeah, sometimes actually restarting that connection to the show will actually cause it to just restart and drop the old buffer, and it will recontinue the way that it was previously.
Okay, yeah. I'll just cancel and start over and see if I can pick you up.
Good luck. Well, yeah. we hope you can.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I enjoy. I subscribe to your... whatever email.
Our newsletter. Good.
Thank
Perfect.
You.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Woohoo. First call from Arizona.
Yeah.
Come on, Grand Junction. Step up.
Yeah. I can top that, though. My friend from Wales is listening.
Right
so,
on. One, nice. One of the...
one of these folk. Yeah, so that's a thing. Hi, RJ. Thank
cool.
you for listening.
Does he have a question? Comment?
No, he doesn't. He just wanted me to say, so that's a thing. That was all we were required to do.
Okay, speaking of international, a little bit of... things going on the radio or the TV. Did you see the Olympics, Brianna, where one of the Olympic gymnasts did a WFTBA or whatever that is. What's the signal?
She flashed the Nerdfighter gang sign.
Yeah.
Yes, she did. That was really impressive. Yeah, and actually one of the European YouTubers, one of the London YouTubers, interviewed her for a video.
Nice.
So that was really cute.
Cool. I figured you were in tune to that.
I'm impressed that you knew that. It made any kind of news.
Well, I watch your videos.
But my videos didn't mention it.
Well, sometimes you reference the WFTBA guys.
It's DFTBA. Don't forget to be awesome.
Okay.
WFTBA.
I don't know if Matt, this is another one of these internet memes. And these guys are called, what are they called? The Vlog Brothers.
Vlog Brothers, yes.
And Brianna's been following them for a couple years?
Yeah, two or three.
And these are two guys that used to live on opposite ends of the country. Brown, give the feedback. Well, tell us about the Vlog Brothers. You can tell better than I can.
Yeah, okay. So the Vlog Brothers was a channel created primarily so these two late 20s, early 30s brothers could keep in touch because they weren't very close for most of their youth. One went to a private school, et cetera. So they decided to start a project where they would only communicate via video blog. So they wouldn't have any textual communication and would just talk to each other over a series of in a YouTube videos for an entire year just to kind of see if it would help their relationship. And throughout that process, they became really good friends and they started kind of a community started kind of gathering around their videos who they refer to as nerd fighters because they're both fairly nerdy men. And it's kind of become this community that has a huge online presence. They do a lot of stuff for charity, and they've started a lot of conventions, and they help out at a lot of other conventions that are nerd-based. When the Haiti earthquake happened, Haiti was an earthquake.
Indonesia,
so when the Haiti earthquake went down, the Nerdfighter community came together, and we as a community donated so much to the relief effort that one of the planes that they sent over with supplies was named the DFTBA because we as a community donated so much. So it's this really active online community that centers around these two video bloggers, but has really grown so much from then.
Hmm. Very cool.
Interesting.
And they're two of the most popular YouTubers.
Mm-hmm. I think they're in the top 100.
Yeah, and they make six-figure salaries from YouTube advertising.
Holy cow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of them is a best-selling author, and the other one's a web developer, so they have other streams of income.
Right. But I mean, they make a very nice income from YouTube because of the traffic. They've got a lot of traffic.
Wow.
Kind of like
traffic.
Hot for Words. You're probably familiar with Hot for Words.
No.
She hasn't been on. She hasn't been relevant for like 3 years.
She hasn't?
Come on. Keep up.
Hot for Words is a Russian linguist. Uh-huh. And she happens to be very voluptuous and blonde. And her whole shtick, and that's probably why she hasn't been relevant, is that she would come on, and being a linguist, she has some kind of degree in linguistics, she would come up with a word every week or once a month or I don't know how often. But she got, because she's a woman and she's got that Russian figure, she had gazillions of subscribers.
I don't think she's done anything for a while. The new hot thing on YouTube is My Drunk Kitchen.
I've heard about that. I haven't seen
it
yet.
She's fantastic.
That's one who gets a recipe and then drinks a whole bottle of wine while trying to make
the
recipe.
She doesn't really get a recipe. She comes up with an idea of what she wants to cook, gets sloshed, and then tries to cook it. Like that's literally the point of the show.
Oh, bruh.
Okay. What I'm missing on YouTube.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Okay, so before we get into some specific things on school, Brianna, you were going to bring up Wikipedia.
Yeah, well, I was just doing it mostly because I wanted to have a cool segue from your redesign of Windows to the redesign of Wikipedia.
Okay, tell us about it.
Well, I haven't read a lot about it yet, just a little bit. But
it's not supported by Wikipedia, right? Is that right?
I think it is. I think one of their developers is kind of coming up with it. It doesn't necessarily have the backing that it needs right now. Right now, I think he's just trying to see if the community will be okay with it.
Right.
As like a new redesign, but it's I guess it's the proposed overhaul of the design.
And I think he's kind of a third party proposing this over. And what is it called? The Aurora Project?
The Athena Project.
Athena Project.
Yeah, the Athena Project. So from what I can tell from what I've read about it, the only huge difference is that it looks sort of like the new Facebook cover photos on each article. Do you know what the Facebook cover photos are? Have you seen those of the new profiles? They have, the big picture and then the little one.
Yep.
So the tops of each Wikipedia article will have like a big, cover photo for the article. which will be interesting to see on the articles that don't have pictures. So I wonder how that'll affect that. And then also, I think more specific to like the people who edit Wikipedia articles, like all of the hundreds of thousands of volunteers who, you know, monitor the website, make sure that, you know, people aren't just messing with them. And they're wanting to integrate more of a social media type idea for edits. So mm-hmm. if you actively edit a particular page, or you have a page that you like to watch that either, you know, people are constantly messing with, or that is interesting to you and you like when they add new information, those will come up as notifications in like a little toolbar area. So I think those are the biggest things, though, is a slight redesign of how pictures are formatted to make the website pop a little more, and the interaction with editors and people who...
Well, and let's face it, Wikipedia is kind of like Craigslist. They've both been exactly the same for gazillions of years.
Well, I mean, to be fair to them, I mean, they're websites that don't necessarily need to pop.
Exactly.
And it's actually a good thing.
They work.
Yeah.
They work.
They're functional and they need to be readable.
Right.
You know, this isn't MySpace. Don't give me a, you know, floating cat gif and sparkles everywhere. You know, they just, I like the clean design. But I think that the direction they're going with this proposal is a good idea. I really like what they've done with it. It doesn't get in the way of text, which is the entire purpose of the website, you know.
And the links.
Yeah, and it doesn't get in the way of, you know, usability. It's just kind of, you know, changes a little bit just to make it prettier. And right. honestly, at this point in the process, I'm kind of on board.
Sure. Can you flash me? I haven't found it yet on my... do you have a link to the Athena project?
Funny thing is, I was on Wikipedia and I'm searching for Project Athena, and there's nothing on it other than an old project for
that's
something.
What I just found. Yeah. Something between MIT and IBM from 1983.
Yeah. A really old history there.
So anyway, all right, well, 241-8801, extension 1. One last news item that came up this week that has a tech angle is Bill Gates was in the news big time this week. And he was in the news because he and his wife, Melinda, attended as via their Bill and Melinda Gates
Foundation.
They attended and were sponsoring a huge prize for development of a new toilet. Did you guys hear this?
I saw this.
This was random, like,
No, it's not random, and here's why.
Yes.
Is one of the largest detriments to worldwide, especially third world, health is not having running water and septic systems.
Yep.
So there's been development for years about how to create a portable toilet that is sanitary, but yet easy to use and easy to maintain and cheap to make, because obviously third world countries aren't going to pay for a toilet. So anyway, there was a convention this week in Seattle, and it was all about new toilet technologies. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is going to give, I didn't see the amount.
I didn't see the dollar
amount.
It's
a very large amount for folks that can come up with a usable third world type toilet. So that's kind of interesting. So good for Bill Gates.
I like that they're crowdsourcing it. That's a really good idea. I think that a lot of innovation happens with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, there were some neat ideas in there. I mean, I looked through some of the designs, and they were very creative.
Very creative. Yeah. One of them turned your poo into charcoal.
Yeah.
One used urine to flush the toilet.
Yeah.
This is the Wikipedia.
Okay, I did find that page. Okay.
Oh, very nice. That does look clean, that Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought they did a good job. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Sure.
Brianna's
sure.
holding it up to the webcam.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Or frozen kfmradio.org.
Where's the webcam?
It's an ongoing joke.
Okay, I was like...
We've all been caught
it's
on
right
it.
Above you, Brianna. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. Come on, folks, Grand Junction. We've got a call from Arizona already. We've got a tweet or a Facebook tweet. Facebook from Wales. Do you get anything on your Facebook?
No, I don't have anything on Facebook, but I do have a PSA that's kind of a serious one here.
Right.
And this is there's a malware out that is fairly serious. And I don't know if you've come across this yet, Rick.
All right, tell me.
But it basically locks up your screen and says that the FBI or perhaps the Department of Justice it has realized that your computer is being used for illegal or illicit things, and that if you don't pay the fine, that you will be in trouble with the law.
Yep, I've seen it.
You've seen this one, yep. And I guess it's getting worse, and so the FBI has actually put out notice that it's not the FBI doing it. And because they said, you know, they wouldn't so conveniently put a little box there to make it so easy to pay.
With a PayPal button. Right. Yeah. Well, and it goes along with, okay, here comes our PSA announcement. We do it every month about security. There is also a huge increase of cold calls to computer users, to home users, or to homes, I should say. Mm-hmm. And I was at a client's house when this happened. This was so beautiful. I have two stories in this real quick.
Oh,
but
wow.
Basically, they call the house and they say, Brianna, is your name Brianna Castellini?
Yes.
And she'll say, well, your computer is sending out viruses and spyware. That's what they start out. And so the first thing that should really come into somebody's head is, how does this person know I have a computer? Not everyone has a computer, believe it or not.
So I think it's a pretty fair assumption to make.
Well, but how do they know? But see, that's what they're counting on.
I was cold calling people. I would just assume they have a computer. Well, and in that sense, I disagree with that.
Well, but no, but you as a home user should say, how does this person know? That should be the first thing they should say. But second thing is how do they know I'm sending out stuff? Then they spout out your address. Well, that's pretty easy to find. And then they start getting you a little bit scared. And then if they really got you by the, but they got the hook in your jaw, they will lead you over to your computer via the telephone. Then they'll ask you to go to a certain website. And then at that point, they can show you whatever they want to show you on the internet. And it says that you have 7,000 viruses and the FBI is going to knock on your door and this, that, and the other. So then you're really scared. Then they say, well, for $199, we can take this off your computer. Or for $129 or $159. And they wanted to get your credit card. And this happens every single day. Well, I had a client the other day that called, and he said he's a Linux user. And he told the person on the other end, he says, well, I think you're mistaken because I use Ubuntu and I don't have any problems. They hung up on him.
Yes!
But my other client, I was sitting in this 85-year-old woman's house. She'd gotten a call the week before. And that's what prompted her to call me because she let him in her computer.
Oh.
And so they were remote controlling her computer. She was real scared, nervous. Basically, she finally did once they asked for money. They asked her for $129 and she said no. They said, well, how about $59? And so finally, when she realized they were bargaining with her, she hung up. So anyway, I happened to be there. They called back.
Like the same people?
The same people. Oh, I don't know if it's the same people, but I was there. So she handed the phone to me and I said, hello, and they gave me the same spiel. And I said, well, I said, that's interesting because no, it's not doing that. Everything is fine. I said, are you really just trying to get my credit card number? And they said, no. And I said, well, if you want my credit card number, I'll give it to you. So I just rattled off, what is it, 12 digits? 16 digits? 16 digits.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, here's my credit card number because if you want that. And so I gave him, and so I just said 16 digits. And he said, well, that's only 15. And I said, well, you missed this one. I just said another random digit. And then I said, the expiration is one of 14. I said something. And he said, can you please hold it? So anyway, it was just ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. If you get the moral of the story is if you get a phone call from somebody claiming your computer is infected, hang up. Don't even bother with them. Unless you're like me and you like messing with people on the phone, hang up.
Oh, it can be a joy.
It can be a joy. Okay. We have a half an hour left, 241-8801, extension 1. And I think it is important to talk about school. School starts next week here in the Valley.
Yes.
Some college students are back to school. Your kids, you said, are back to school.
Yep, ours went back July 22nd. We're with Caprock Academy, which is a charter school.
Yeah.
And it's only 4 days a week, and so and they have extra hours required per year anyhow, and so they do that by having a shorter summer.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah,
so they're back
here. Kids at my camp from Caprock.
Yeah.
And did they have to quit early because they had to go back to school? Mm-hmm. All right. So my standard advice every year, and when people ask me about kids going to college and they want to know about getting a laptop, I either get one or two questions. What laptop to get, or is the Apple computer worth it? Is the Mac laptop worth it? And if they ask me which computer to get, I tell them the extra money for the Mac is worth it. If they say, is the Mac worth it? Yes, the Mac is worth it. And the reason why, in my opinion, is lower maintenance. The kids are going to be able to get a very good, fast computer that's going to stay that way probably through most of their college career, if not all of their college career. And they're not going to have to go into the
Apple store.
well, they're going to have to go to apps, but I'm saying at the college, you're not going to have to go into college IT and get the college IT people to take spyware off their system. Their computers aren't going to slow down, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So my advice is pay up front, spend a dollar now to save tens of dollars later, hundreds of dollars later is my advice. Yeah. Brianna has had an Apple her whole career for college, going into her third year, and she used it in high school. Do you agree?
That it's worth it?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. But I would like to put an addendum that it depends highly on what you use it for, because I have a lot of like huge techie, you know, computer science friends who like to tinker with their machines.
That's a different
and,
thing.
Well, yeah. And if you don't want something with a lot of software, like artsy kind of stuff and video software and stuff, I mean, honestly, if you don't want to spend that money and you really don't think that it's going to be useful to you, the software, because that's what I like Apple for, the software and the cleanliness of the interface, then just get a cheap PC. Because I agree that you should.
But you started that out with if you are a computer nerd and you can work with your computer.
Well,
if you're planning just to use the computer.
Mm-hmm, yeah, if you're just a simple college student, get a Mac. Yeah, it's so useful. A lot of college campuses now have purely Mac labs or Mac computers for their libraries and stuff. I know Lewis and Clark College in Oregon, they have a Mac lab and a PC lab, so, you know, to cater to both sides.
And but, you have a roommate and a friend who worked in your college IT.
I did. My roommate from last year, his freshman year, he worked in the IT department, and he said that he almost never saw Mac computers. He always fixed PCs.
Right. And what was the thing he worked on the most was spyware and viruses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
running antivirus software.
And I don't know what kind of turnover. I never asked him about how quickly they can turn it around. But even if your computer is gone for a day, look at people, anybody that has a computer problem, they hate having downtime.
Oh, downtime's horrible, especially if you have a paper coming up.
That's right.
Yep. So, but the other thing that you mentioned earlier was the continuity of the interface.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Windows is very unpredictable, unreliable from one edition to the next, whereas Mac for the last 10 years has been the same.
Right.
And so if you like that continuity, Mac, you know, that's another good reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Matt and I, being Linux, Matt's a huge Linux user. I just know how to use it. Linux is very similar to Mac in the fact that it's stable.
If
you're kind of a nerdy person and you're willing to get over the fact that it doesn't have a corporate brand on it that you recognize.
Here's a little secret, too, about Mac, is that the underside of it is actually BSD Unix, which is kind of a variant of Linux. And so for the really geeky, nerdy people like me, we can actually get in there and do all the same stuff
Terminal commands.
Yep. We can do all that
which
good Linux
stuff. Which is
what
makes it a stable, fast operating system.
Absolutely. That's why Mac made that shift about 10, 15 years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why they made that shift, was because they needed an uber stable platform. And that's why I use Linux, because it's uber stable. It's known for running nonstop for years on end.
Right.
And
without any maintenance.
Right.
From the user. It does it all pretty much internally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brianna. So Mac computers, you've also been somewhat unique in your college and your high school career that you've used OpenOffice and LibreOffice as a free Office alternative to spending $100-$120 on Microsoft Office. And has that been a problem? Has it worked out okay?
You know, in the early days when I wasn't really sure of myself and the technology, you know, when I first got my laptop when I was like 16, you know, when I started using the program, it was a little bit hard of a transition just because, you know, I was expecting a lot of, you know, fancy design things like in the new Microsoft Word. I know there's this whole like design table where you can change all the colors and blah, blah. But honestly, I haven't had any problems with it. If you're writing papers and making simple presentations, there is no reason that you should spend $600 on Microsoft Works
or even $100.
Is it $100?
Well, you can get the home student edition for like $130.
Yeah, that's $130 I could be spending on way more things.
On songs and apps.
Now, how did it work out for you, like turning things into teachers, you know, as far as the compatibility?
Honestly, I haven't had any compatibility problems except for trying to start the numbering on the second page instead of the first one. Like, I cannot figure out how to do that on OpenOffice. I have zero idea. But honestly, I emailed my professor after he made that one of his, like, requirements for a paper. And I was like, so I've been trying for the past 3 years to do this. I can't. Is that okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm sure that's fine. So, like, the only thing that I cannot do on OpenOffice is start the numbering on the second page, which is a stupid thing to do anyways. I don't know why you would want that.
Well, when you get into book writing, that's kind of where it comes from. Mm-hmm. But you can have your editor do those kind of things for you.
But that aside, I have had zero compatibility issues. I mean, sometimes the page count will differ a little bit, or the design, just because of the page format and sizes from computer to computer changes. But if you're just printing it yourself and you're not, you know, putting it on a school computer and then printing it, there's no problems. Everything looks exactly like you want it to, and it's indistinguishable from any other.
You can't tell where it was created.
Yeah, and there's no way.
In OpenOffice, and I set this for my kids' computers, and I do it for all my clients, you can set, as you know, Matt, the default save settings as a Word-compatible or an Excel-compatible format.
Right.
So then if you are submitting electronically, there it goes. Now, Brianna, the other thing that I haven't talked to you a lot about is your campus is a Google Docs-enabled campus. You guys have Google Mail, right,
for the
campus
Mail.
Email. Mm-hmm. Do you guys use the Google Docs much?
The only class we ever actually used Google Docs for was my freshman year seminar class.
Okay.
But
Was it just to kind of orient you guys?
I have no idea. I've never used it since. But you know what I just downloaded? Google Drive. I already love it. It's like Dropbox, but for Google. And I love Google. I would give Google so much money if they asked me to, because Google's like the best internet company ever. I haven't downloaded Chrome yet, though, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm a Firefox girl through and through.
Yeah, she loves
Firefox. I found a new use for Google Drive.
Okay.
What?
Shopping lists, going grocery shopping.
That's a good idea.
I actually have my packing list for college on there, so like I don't have to go and find my laptop. I just pull it up on my phone. Like, oh, I haven't packed this T-shirt yet. My class schedule, because I typed up my class schedule in my laptop, and now I have it on both my iPad and my phone, so I never have to – I don't have to print it out. I don't have to do any of that nonsense.
Good.
I can just go right there.
Okay, speaking of which, two things you just said that are great next questions. One is a printer. Mm-hmm. And my son is going to be a freshman this year, and he has the same kind of mentality that home users have, business, everybody has. I'm going to buy the cheapest printer.
Oh.
You buy the cheapest printer, you're going to more than lose that savings in the first few months on ink.
Yeah.
And as college students, unless you are in a design type of program where you need color all the time, more than likely, do you black and white fine?
Oh, yeah. The only times I ever use color is if I'm like printing out a picture for me. Like, it's never for class.
Okay.
Well, actually, once it was for class, but that's irrelevant.
And Brianna has a laser printer, just a real inexpensive. Is yours brother?
Yeah, it's brother.
A brother laser printer. Have you had to put the new cartridge in it yet, or is it still working on the very first one?
I had to put a new cartridge in last year, but I didn't do it all of this year.
Okay, so you had the initial cartridge and have only replaced it once since you've gotten it, which is almost 2 years.
Yeah.
So she spent the total of the machine on a small laser printer, which today is between $89 and $120, and the extra cartridge was $70. Whereas if you're an ink cartridge person, you're going to spend $70 every month or two.
Oh, yeah.
And especially if you're in college and not being careful about how often you're printing.
Yeah,
so
you don't think about
it. The laser printers worked okay.
Oh, yeah. It's been perfect. I mean, for like big things, if, you know, so I've had professors just scan the textbooks so we don't have to buy them, which is very nice, even if it's illegal. And so sometimes we'll have to print out all of that to bring to class. They don't want us to read it on a laptop.
Oh, wow.
Which is interesting. Yeah, I know. So we'll see how that works out. But what I end up doing is because my school gives us a certain amount of allowance for printing privileges, so I just use the big stuff over there so I don't just waste ink and paper.
And you can do color through the school,
too. Yeah, you can do color. That costs a little more, but the cost is irrelevant because we get a lot of allowance for printing. But, yeah, for, you know, if you just need to quickly print a paper and go to class, it's perfect. I would definitely recommend having a printer.
And a laser.
Just, yeah.
Do you have any friends, co-workers, co-students? Fellow students that have inkjet printers and have had to buy a lot of ink. And
I have never met anyone with an inkjet printer.
Almost everyone has laser that you met?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who uses inkjet anymore?
It's funny you ask that, because I went to Best Buy a couple months ago looking for a laser printer, and they had only one, and it was really crummy. All their others were inkjets.
Right.
And I asked the guy, where your laser jet printers were, and he goes, all we have is the one, and he says, and he looked at me because he knew, he could tell by the look in my eye that I knew something, and he says, I already know that the people that come in here, they want these cheap printers, but they don't last. Right. He says, I really wish we held more lasers because these lasers.
So do you have to go to Office Depot or Office Max?
Yeah, I ended up going to one of the other places. Yeah. Because I ended up getting a color laser, which I wasn't really planning on at that point. But
they're good too. If you need color lasers are a little more expensive, but again, in the long run, you're going to save money.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Although, if you're printing photos, which I never recommend printing photos at home, is
so cheap to do other
places. Yeah, it's cheap to do other places, but you're not going to get as good of a deal, not as good of a printout from a color laser for photos as you would inkjet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you're dead set on printing your own photos, but again, that's getting away from school. All right, so school so far, we've got on your shopping list Apple computers. Mm-hmm. If you're really geek oriented, you may want a window, or if you're a Windows computer, or if your curriculum requires it,
or if you're hard on computers, because Macs, like, if one thing breaks, it's just over. So you know, it's easier to replace something in a PC because they're all separate components.
True. Well,
so like if you're one of those people that like just drops you, I wouldn't recommend you own a computer if you're like that. Yeah, but like
if that was my kid, they'd be going to the lab.
Well, yeah, exactly. But like if you are clumsy or you're concerned, if you're in a workplace or a school that you're a technical school maybe, that you're concerned about something dropping on it or someone being too rough or something, then you might want to be
Your roommates
cautious.
Have parties all the time. So we got the laser printer and a Mac computer so far. We're going to talk about one other thing after this. We take a phone call here, 241-8801. We're talking about anything technology-related. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, I have a question that you probably know the answer to.
Well, we hope.
Heard there's a free program out there that can take screenshots, so when you're trying to make a little bit of a manual for people, you can circle stuff, screenshot it.
So you want – now, are you using what operating system?
Oh, PC.
If you're using use Windows 7?
Yeah.
If you have Windows 7, you have actually a pretty decent one built in called the snipping tool. Have you tried that?
No, didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, they actually included that with Windows 7, and it's not bad. It's a very simple screenshot tool, but if you look up snipping tool, I actually keep it in my taskbar, and when I need a screenshot, a quick one, I'll just hit it, you draw what you want to take a screenshot of. Then it gives you a very simple editor where you can draw little arrows and circles and even add some text if you want. I take that back. I don't know if it does text, but it does do circles and arrows. And then you can save it as a file, PNG, or put it on, you can copy it to Word or whatever you want to do. But that's a simple one. And it's called the snipping tool. Comes with Windows 7. If you want to go up an extra little level and have a few more editing abilities for free, go to techsmith.com, TECHsmith.com, and they have a great little tool called Jing, J-I-N-G. And it's a starter tool, again, kind of like the snipping tool, and it'll let you do simple clips, again, with simple edits, and it'll let you even do some video capture as well, which is kind of cool. And then if you really are getting the hang of it and you like having these tools, the best tool out there by far, especially if you do a fair amount of this kind of stuff, is TechSmith's their advanced program called Snagit. S-N-A-G-I-T.
Oh, that's the one I've heard about.
Yeah, Snagit is great, but I think it's only like $30 or something like that, maybe $40. But it's worth it. It has great editing tools. You can do some real nice stuff very simply and quickly with your screenshots.
It looks like it's $49.95.
Ah, okay, $50.
Okay.
All right.
Hey,
we appreciate the call. Good question. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And just a follow-on to that, if you're using a browser, a web browser, and what you're trying to take a screen capture of is within your browser, Chrome and Firefox both have screen capture extensions or plugins that you can use.
For the internet.
Yeah. It's only if you're trying to capture a web page.
Right.
But some of them are really neat because you can actually capture everything that you can't see. So it'll actually scroll down on its own and get top to bottom the whole thing, and then they'll have minimal little editing and annotation tools as well. So.
Yeah, very cool. I agree. Concur totally. Brianna, you also said another thing in there that was a great segue. You talked about the printer. You talked about textbooks. And you talked about your iPad. So now you have done something this fall will be a first for you going into your third year of school, which is
that now that I have an iPad, I decided to buy as many of my textbooks as I could on iTunes.
Okay.
And have my iPad as my textbook.
So that this was a new initiative from Apple just last year, where they're doing, what do they call it, iTunes University or iTunes,
yeah, iTunes
Books?
U.
iTunes U. And it is a way, their goal is to try to get every college textbook in their library. And so you can have the textbook on your iPad instead of have to have six or eight books. It's all in your iPad.
Yeah, it's already more convenient and cheaper in a lot of cases. I think there's already two books that I know of that I can't get on iTunes that I'll have to get analog. But so far, I actually really, really like it.
And what can you do with the iPad textbooks?
Well, what I've been, because I haven't done a lot with it yet, but it's great because you can search. So if there's a particular passage that you know you read and that you know you need to use for an essay or something, you can just search for it and it'll find it.
Very quickly, okay.
Yeah, I wish that, life had that as a default setting. You can also highlight things without, damaging the book. You can highlight in different colors. You can add notes, but not notes that'll interfere with the reading experience. And you can take them off if they're irrelevant.
And can you search the notes as well as the text of the... make notes.
Yeah, I just found that. That's cool. And you can add bookmarks for if you want an entire page.
Takes the place of your little sticky notes in your textbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I never know what my sticky notes mean. It's very
so cool. So over, you haven't even started school yet, but you found a bunch of your textbooks and you've already read a couple of them. You said you started reading.
Yeah, I started and finished In Cold Blood. That's the only one I've started so far.
But you liked the experience overall.
I did. It was a little hard at first, just to kind of get used to that reading experience. But once I locked the screen and kind of just got used to reading it on there, it was actually really nice because it was more portable.
That's what I was gonna ask you. It was convenient because if you had it with you, you could read it anywhere.
Exactly. And that's been really, really nice. And also, every year I always end up with like 10 or 11 textbooks that I just have nowhere to put. And I don't want them, but they just take up space.
But you can sell some of them back.
Not really. It's really difficult. Our school only buys back a fraction of the ones they do. And since I don't shop through our school bookstore, they don't generally like me to sell them stuff.
Because you bought it somewhere
else. But they fit in like three backpacks, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I love flying home with three backpacks. Airplanes are so understanding of college students.
241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. 241-8801, extension 1. So those are great things. And this is a real live college student who's been through it. She's in it right now. And obviously Matt went to college. What, 50 years ago, Matt? Now, Matt's younger than I am, but we've been out of college quite a long time,
right.
And things have changed immensely since we were in college. And,
So
it's still changing as we speak, so it's kind of cool to see what kind of technologies are available. And if you use the technologies, it can make things easier, right? Mm-hmm. She's nodding her head. If you're watching the webcam, it was non-auditory, but she nodded her head. Anything else stand out in the news for you this week?
Oh, there were a few items. One of them was Adobe it's official. They are pulling Flash out of Google Play. So no more Flash from Adobe.
They were talking about
at all.
It.
Yeah, they were
but
talking about official. It. And now now the deadline, they actually announced it as official a few months ago.
Okay.
And now there is absolutely no development being done on it. You can't get it anymore.
Will it be pulled from those Android devices?
No, it will not be pulled, but you cannot download it fresh anymore.
Gotcha.
So if you were to reset your phone, you can't re-download it.
But doesn't it come standard or no?
I don't think so.
Okay. So there's no Flash on it unless you download it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Interesting.
And
which is a good thing.
Yeah, because it has all the security updates and whatnot. And that's basically what they're saying is HTML5, it took over just like Steve Jobs made
predicted.
It so.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he predicted it, but he also directed it at the same time.
It was the big thing he got a lot of hell for last year because people couldn't understand why Flash was not available on the iPad.
Right.
And it has been a hindrance here and there. I mean, there are websites I'll go to occasionally that there's no Flash. But it's not often.
Right.
It's not often that I come across that.
It's few and far between. So that's one thing that's out there right now that, for Android users that have kind of enjoyed that luxury, it's going away. So in future phones, it just won't be there. But HTML5 development is really picking up to where, Flash really isn't needed anymore. So.
Very cool. Now, here's something that Brianna might be interested in. Brianna does use Pinterest, right, Brianna?
I just saw that new
and article. Did you see the news that they now have an iPad app for the Pinterest?
I'm installing it as we speak.
Now, Pinterest, My male oriented definition of Pinterest is it's a place that mostly women visit.
Older women.
And Brianna says older women. I didn't say that. My daughter said that. Go to place. Basically, it's kind of like a visual bookmarking website where people find things they enjoy. They pin it, I guess, which you say to Pinterest or share it. And then if you searched for macrame, I don't know, what does an older lady search for? Then you're going to get pictures of macrame.
Right.
And then if you click on it, you get to the article. Is that basically my...
The visual bookmarking website is a good way to put it.
Okay.
Now, how do you differentiate it between Tumblr? Because Tumblr does a lot of the same thing.
Tumblr does, but Tumblr's more of a blogging website and for GIFs and GIFs, however you like to pronounce it, and blogs. So, and Pinterest, instead of just having one thing per, like, you know, one blog and then you scroll down for more, Pinterest is, I'm showing them now, it has multiple things on the page. It's kind of like a corkboard. Like a visual website, web
like a bulletin board, yeah.
So it's all kind of next to each other. It's kind of busy, but really, if you're dedicated, then you can find something interesting.
You have a lot of time.
I basically only go to the DIY category, though.
So you don't characterize yourself as one of the older ladies, then?
No, I'm a future older lady of Pinterest. But there's this great College Humor video that talks about what's going to happen when the men invade Pinterest, and it's this whole visual representation of the Pinterest women in their castle, and like all of the internet trolls, and like I want cat videos, Steven. It was pretty funny. It was a great visual representation of the clear divide between the Pinterest users and everyone else on the internet.
All right. Well, we only have a couple minutes left. Anything else either one of you want to add? Brianna, anything else school-wise for upcoming students that you would want to recommend or talk about from a technology standpoint?
From a technology standpoint? I really don't have
anything. Did we cover most of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got a funny.
Yes.
All right. Well, going back to the old AOL, empire days when everybody believed that AOL was the internet.
Yeah.
Okay. And a movie was even made about it, with You've Got Mail. Well, now there is a Chrome extension, if you use Gmail, so that when you get new mail, it will actually shout out You've Got Mail. So I have actually installed that this week. I've been enjoying my nostalgic moments of You've Got Mail.
More power to you.
And I am about to uninstall it.
I've hated it all these years, not only because it was associated with AOL, but it's horrible grammar.
Oh, yeah.
You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
You have got mail. Come on. Come on, people. Multi-billion dollar company. Use proper English.
But they capitalized on it very well.
They did.
Yeah, I recently saw a Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode where that was a large part of it. Like, there was just like a computer on the side. You've got mail. You've got mail. And I was like, oh, 90s.
Cute.
90s are so cute.
All right. Well, Brianna, thanks for joining us today in the studio.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Good luck in your 2012-2013 venture.
Yes, absolutely.
If 2013 happens,
That's true. If the Mayans are correct.
Oh, that's right. We've only got a few months left, don't we?
Yeah.
Right. Ask all your computer questions now.
Yeah. That's why I'm getting all my Pinterest out of my system.
All right, Matt, thanks. We hope that Adam is having a good trip up in Chicago.
Yes, absolutely.
And
enjoy.
We'll be back again in a couple of weeks because we're on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month.
First and third.
Today's the third. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Wow.
First and third. And so we'll be back in a few weeks on the first Wednesday of September. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah.
I forgot it. I was thinking today was the second. I don't know. All right. First and third Wednesdays. All right. Thanks. Keep on listening to KFM Radio 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado for more great programming.
No need to worry. Take these hands. Take these arms. Take these arms. I'll pick you right up. Take these arms.
my bills are all due, and the baby needs shoes, and I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter of a pound, but I'm busted. I got a cow that went dry, and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that gets bigger each day. The county's gonna haul my belongings away, cause I'm busted. I went to my brother to ask for a loan, cause I was busted. I hate to beg like a dog without his bone, but I'm busted.